This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, the Journal reports that more than 1 million consumers canceled their cable TV or satellite subscriptions in the past quarter, one of the largest seasonal drops ever. Cord cutters keep chipping away at cable as the outlook for TV as we once knew it goes from bad to worse. More after these tech headlines. A slide in Apple's shares deepened Monday, putting the iPhone maker on track for its worst month in over a decade as the recent tech rout continued. The world's most viable public company fell 4%, bringing the stock down 15.1% in November and on pace for its largest one-month drop since September 2008. Apple's recent slump is a worrisome sign for investors questioning whether the U.S. stock rally can regain its footing without leadership from the technology sector. The Journal reports that Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg's new aggressive approach is causing unprecedented turmoil at the social network, driving several key executives from the company and creating tensions with longtime chief operating officer Sheryl Sandberg. Mr. Zuckerberg's new posture could trouble those who feel his move fast, break things mantra from Facebook's early days contributed to many of its current problems. The Journal has more on how it has also led to confrontations with some of his top reports, including Ms. Sandberg, who has had long considerable autonomy over the Facebook teams that control communications and policy. Self-driving cars are encountering more political roadblocks. Automakers and other companies racing to commercialize autonomous car tech are apparently facing pushback from local politicians, complicating their plans to bring real-world testing to more U.S. cities. Case in point, in New York City, GM has put on hold plans to test in Manhattan because Mayor Bill de Blasio has expressed concerns about the tech's safety. In Chicago, the City Council's Transportation Committee chairman has vowed to block self-driving cars from operating in the nation's third largest metropolis, citing safety concerns and the potential for displacing taxi drivers and other jobs. Even in Pittsburgh, a hotbed for autonomous vehicle research, city officials have recently adopted more stringent requirements, demanding that developers detail how a vehicle's safety system works before granting permission to test on public roads. Meanwhile, a Senate bill that aims to establish nationwide regulations for self-driving cars has stalled in Congress, and without federal direction, cities and states are left to act on their own, which the Journal says creates a patchwork of rules and red tape for the companies plowing billions into the tech, hoping to eventually turn their testing into profitable ventures. The Journal's Mike Colias and Tim Higgins cover it all. Head to WSJ.com/tech for the latest. Coming up, as cord cutters continue to chip away at cable and satellite providers' dominance of the living room, a look at how the outlook for traditional TV is about to go from bad to worse. Once upon a time, cable and satellite providers dominated our living rooms, forcing us to pay for hundreds of channels we never had any intention of watching, convinced we were somehow doing ourselves a favor and getting some kind of deal. Thankfully, those days are long gone. Enter the new era of streaming, where cord cutting remains a cold reality served to fledgling providers everywhere. And things are about to get worse. Here to talk more from our D.C. bureau is Wall Street Journal reporter Drew Fitzgerald. Hey, Drew. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So this has been happening for a while. Where it stands, traditional pay TV providers need to make money in other ways. Cord cutting, you know, sees no end in sight. So what are they doing? What are the latest attempts to stop the bleeding? What's the how are they trying to salvage? And is it going to prove to be enough?
Sure. Well, I mean, the problem to begin with is if you look at the traditional pay TV industry, that's not Netflix, that's not Amazon Prime. This is watching channels either over your cable connection or maybe over the internet or through a satellite. That industry, which still is huge, has more than 100 million subscribers, is not growing. In fact, it's declining more quickly than it has in the past due to cord cutters who are just abandoning the service totally and watching other videos online, or cord nevers. Maybe the younger generation graduates college. You figure they're on a tight budget and they decide that they get all the entertainment they need through whether it's video games or Netflix or some other non-traditional way of watching video entertainment.
You know, for a while there, the word skinny bundles, it was a word we heard way too much of during this trying time. I guess we're still hearing it, but it was some sort of solution or at least compromise at one point. But how is that faring as a concept in general? You got into how some mediums see success with it and some cable companies are kind of wary to go that route.
Sure. The skinny bundle is one of the ways in which the traditional pay TV companies are reacting to this trend, right? So the two biggest skinny bundles, if you're talking about live TV over the internet, are actually owned by the satellite TV companies. DirecTV has DirecTV Now, and Dish has Sling TV, which by subscribers is the biggest provider of a skinny TV package. And you can add on to it more and more channels and extras to the point where it really starts to resemble a satellite or cable TV package. It just uses a different medium to get to your TV screen. Cable companies aren't doing that as much. They already have a cable TV and internet wire cord into the home. So most cable companies, though they provide TV everywhere so you can watch their products on any kind of device, aren't really pushing hard on the idea of a skinny bundle that uses the internet wholesale rather than your actual cable connection. But companies like Comcast are trying to adapt other ways by looking, for instance, at adding Netflix to the home screen on their cable TV boxes for customers who were maybe thinking of cutting the cord. They tell them, listen, you can still watch the same TV product and pay us for broadband, which is a medium that the cable companies still have to make a profit. And we'll also give you Netflix, even though we're not the company providing the video product.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like this will continue to be something that will, you know, these big companies will have to feel out. And as is the case with most things, especially in tech, you know, as tech evolves, things meet in the middle and things become a hybrid. So is that how you see this playing out? Not to, you know, pardon the pun, but do you see the consumer experience changing much sooner? Will this be a, you know, a slower process?
So far, this has been a pretty slow burn. Again, more than 100 million subscribers across the industry is nothing to sneeze at. If you look at some of the numbers that newer companies like Netflix has racked up or YouTube in its many forms, the numbers that it's gained in paying subscribers, they would love to have the numbers that some of the bigger pay TV distributors have and the profit margins. Don't forget that if you have an expensive cable or satellite TV package, those are very profitable products for the traditional companies. The only problem for them is the number of people using it is declining, and any replacement they have for it really isn't as profitable for them.
Interesting look at the state of affairs. Drew Fitzgerald, thanks so much.
Glad to be here.
For more, check out Drew's article at WSJ.com or the WSJ app. That's it for the Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.